How about a round of applause for our pianist? The Bible says, render honor to whom honor is due. I think it's due, right? Okay. We want to talk about mothers today. What can a preacher who's preached over 50 years, many of those Mother's Days, say that hadn't already been said? Or something new? I do have something new to start out the introduction. Recently, as you are aware, I'm sure, of the news, a woman nominated for the Supreme Court was asked by those interrogating her, what is your definition of a woman? That highly intelligent, law-providing information and making decisions of judgment could not define what a woman was. Are we in trouble? Are we in trouble? Of course, I know behind that was to find out where she stood on the subject of abortion. But that's why she was placed there, because she was for it. And they're afraid of what is about to happen or is happening or could happen. I don't know. I don't understand all the things that they do to progress through that. And today there are supposedly demonstrations in churches of people who are for abortion and are against the church or people that are trying to outlaw it. And it's a sad, sad day when we can't tell what a woman is from a man. And, of course, we know those things are going on. Marriage was an institution, has been, by God in the Bible. People that want that kind of a ceremony to unite them have to follow the principles of the Bible. And the Bible very plainly states, one man, one woman, and God performed the very first marriage. Nothing else fits, not two men, not two women. Even in some countries, they have animals with children. Does it make you sick at your stomach? But that's where things run to that kind of teaching. Because the first thing that a mother does is protect her children. I've told you this story many times. I know you know it, but I want to share it again. When we would have hens setting, some of you who've been, one thing's wrong with this country, not enough people had a life in agriculture and farming. They missed a lot. We didn't have to be defined about where babies came from and all that. We knew that by observing all the animals and things. But my mother would say to me when I went to gather the eggs for her, John, that hen in the back corner's trying to set. I don't want her set. They used to make little plastic-like eggs, and we'd put them under her. If they'd laid any eggs in that nest, we'd have to take them out. Now, when you try to take eggs from out under a setting hen, you better be swift of hand and maybe wear some gloves. We refer to a person who is yellow or something as chicken. They never tried to take eggs out from under a setting hen, or they wouldn't say that. And so I had to get the eggs from her. You fake with this hand. My dad taught me a little bit about boxing. And you reach and get the eggs with this hand. She goes for that one, the other one. You're putting them in your basket. Take them to mom. Animals, my point is, live, and mothers, their first duty is protecting that. The same way with every other animal. The only animal that I know on the farm that abused their young was hogs. They would actually, because, you know, they eat afterbirth, maybe you don't want to hear, but that's what happens. They would start eating the pigs, and so you had to watch them. That's the only animal I know. So could I say we've got about as bad as the hogs when we allow our young to be destroyed, and a mother would allow them to be destroyed? We have so many alternatives. We have adoption, We have clinics. We have places. Think of the people. One of the ladies who's running for, that's all I'll say, for state senator, United States senator from this state. I don't know if you've heard her story or not, but her mother was raped. And she's the product of a rapist. But her mother didn't abort her. She's a brilliant woman. Think of what would have been wasted and what is being wasted, perhaps, when we abort babies. And one of the largest group of people that is having abortions, and they don't want to hear this, is blacks. They have the largest number of abortions. And yet, Black Lives Matter. You'd think that we'd want to fight the issue there. We have no common sense, or we cannot hook A with B going through when we make rules and regulations. We have the mother Moses in Exodus chapter 2. At this time, they were in bondage. And the Jewish were a stalwart people. They produced fast. And so the king put out a decree that every male child would be killed. Moses' mother had a baby, which was him. And his mother didn't want that to happen to him. And it says in chapter 2, verse 2, "And the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. Last Wednesday night, we studied in the Bible class, when do we as Christians have the right to break a government law? The verse in Acts when Peter said, we all obey God rather than man. If the government tells you to do something, many people, and I've written some letters for them, do not want to get the shot, but their workplace demands it. So they come to me and I give them a letter. Our teaching and their conscience says they don't want to do this. So I think it's approved in some places, maybe not in others, but we have the right to go against a law that offends the law of God. The law of God is higher than any law that can be put down. Okay? And when she could no longer, verse 3, oh, by the way, I must be getting old. I didn't think I was. But for the first time, I held a great-grandson. And I want to tell you something. That kid is better looking than any baby that ever came into this world. Most perfectly formed child I ever saw in my life. My goodness. I always thought they all looked red-faced and squalling to me. I don't have any time for, but I took him and held him and kissed him. That was a thrill to my life to do that for the first time. But when he gets a little older, he's going to make trouble, and so you can't hide him. He cries for his bottle and all that. So it said, and when she could no longer hide him, she took up for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with the slime and the pitch that's made waterproof and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river's bank. And we know the story. The king's daughter came along, saw it, and her own mother, because she was faithful to God, ended up taking care of her child anyway. Wow. How good is God? How great is God? You know, sometimes we just try to get ahead of God. God's waiting to do something far greater than we could think. I don't know why God don't do this. I'll tell you why. Because he's God, and that's his law. There's a lot of things I've asked for that I haven't gotten, but it's not mine to correct God. It's God's to correct me and teach me more about life. I like this verse. I put it in there. Psalm 139:12. It's mentioned about in Jeremiah. when he didn't know if he was old enough, wise enough in years to go forward for God, God said, who made you? I formed your bones in your mother's womb. Look at this verse, 139 verse 12. For thou hast possessed my reins, that means all of my facilities. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. The safest place for a child ought to be in the mother's womb. Of all the places that a child could be protected. So a mother's first duty, as far as I'm concerned, is to protect her children. And when they're going to teach something in a school that you don't like, get on your horse and go. And we've seen mothers, because of this, whatever they call it, education in Virginia, the government got elected on it, by teaching stuff to try to tear us apart and all of that. And a mother is the first teacher. She teaches her child. We never know what effect we have when later on somebody is trying to change things that are improper in a child. I'm not a mother, but I've tried to teach the kids and grandkids. A few years back, he's going now, my grandson, they were in class, and the teacher was very smartly teaching them about computers and cell phones. She said, now, your parents and grandparents probably don't know how to do this. My grandson waved his hand. Teacher said, yes, Nathan. He said, my pap knows how to use them. My pap knows how to use them. One of the real joys of my life was he come running down through the yard one day. Many of you know I learned to pluck on the bass a little bit way back when. My fingers are kind of numb now. I'm hoping for a day to get back to it. But he come running down through the yard with a guitar in his hand and a friend at his right hand. And he said, come on down, you got to meet my pap. If we stay in the chord of G, he'll play all night long. The importance and influence that not only a parent, but a grandparent has on their child. Listen to what Paul writes about Timothy in 2 Timothy 1:5. When I call to remembrance the unfinished faith, that means he had a faith that couldn't be taken away. Somebody couldn't destroy it. Somebody said, well, the school is destroying my child. Well, give that child something while you have it. Give him something you can have. So when they go to a state school to get some of their high education, he knows, hey, that's not right, my house. We don't agree with that. That is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother and thy mother Eunice, I am persuaded is in thee also. I know where you got it, Timothy. It started out with your grandmother and your mother teaching you the things of faith. The things of faith. We'd have our prayer time sometimes, and the refrigerator was on the blink. One of our kids would say, pray for the refrigerator. A simple prayer of a child is overwhelming, you know? And once we embed that into their life, that's what they do. They pray about it. The next thing I think is important about mothers is they know how to make a house a home. You could build the finest mansion on the hill or live in a two-room shack, but if it ain't got warm love and order to that house, it's not a home. And the Bible teaches us that mothers were primarily created for that. I'm not saying a woman can't do a lot of other things, but if you have children and you're married and have a house, your first job is to see that that makes it look like a home. Titus 2:4 says that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, and to love their children. My, that covers the whole area, doesn't it? Love. Where should kids learn about love? Not in the bathroom. Not by some person who thinks they've got a lot of recent knowledge and biology and technology, but from mom and dad. Mom teaches about love. I said to my mother, when my dad was a strong alcoholic, doing a lot of things, I said, Mom, why don't you divorce Dad and leave him? She said, two reasons, son. I love your father and I love you. Wow, that was powerful. That was powerful. Love can conquer any problem. We don't serve God, but out in the Sunday school class, because we have to. We serve Him because we love Him. If you serve out of duty, you'll quit a lot of things. I'm quitting that. If you love it, you never quit. If you love a person, you never quit. If you love God, you don't quit. When people get on to you or upset you because you try to do something in church, you keep on doing it because you love it. You're doing it for God. And that's what our children are about. God loaned us these children. We don't have these children by any stretch of the imagination. One day they become 18, 19, 20. They're gone. They're gone from our influence. So in those years, we're to teach them. That's what Moses wrote in Exodus. Teach it. The first thing he said before you teach, you must love the Lord thy God with all thy mind, all thy heart, and thy soul. And then teach your children. Teach them. Many ways to teach. Pray before you eat. Read the Bible. Pray with them when they go to bed. Let them see you praying. Let them see you reading the Bible over and over and over. He goes on to say, be discreet. There are certain things that we don't allow with our children. Chaste. That means pure. Keepers at home. Good. Obedient to their own husbands. That the word of God be not blasphemed. The world should see a difference in a Christian home and mother than it does in the other home. They can build it big and fancy. They can put a lot of stuff in it. Yours may be just a shotgun shack, but it'd be for God. It'd be for God. Mothers, one of the first things you ought to do is give their children to the Lord. In 1 Samuel 1:11, you know the whole story. This woman was married. She couldn't have children. And she saw other women having them. And she was crying because she couldn't have any. She went to the house of God and prayed. 1 Samuel 1:11. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thy handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid. Well, she didn't say, because I'm a queen, because I'm a wife, because I'm a handmaid. Means I'll do things for God. I'll do things for Him. And remember me and not forget thy handmaid, but that will give unto thy handmaid a man child, that I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, shall no razor come on his head. Wow. And God did. And she did. And when you made that promise to God, that meant bring them to church, the house of God. The kids didn't feel like going to church. The kids don't decide going to church. Mom and Dad decides. The kids don't decide if we're going to bed and pray. We decide. Letting the kids, when they're not even school age, I don't feel good. There's something on television I want to watch. But isn't it funny? When I don't feel like school, you got to go to school. It's a must. Isn't it amazing how we think? Love not the world and the things of the world is what the Bible says. And you know what? You do not have to have a baby to mother a child. A mother may adopt or raise someone else's child. Moses had the advantage of a spiritual and godly upbringing from his mother when she had him. But his kingly mother taught him the stuff about rulers and kingdoms. Listen to that mother. The king's daughter of all things was a personal tutor to him in the things of the world. He could see the two contrasts. One day we know he decided he wasn't going to live like that anymore. And the child grew and she brought him up in favor unto Pharaoh's daughter, and he became a son. And she called his name Moses. She said, because I drew him out of the water. You don't have to. I know not lots of them, but I know women who just couldn't have children. And I know one in particular. If I call her name, some of you might know her. But I watched her mother a lot of children and have an effect greatly upon their lives. She did as a babysitter. She did as a Sunday school teacher. Wow. Never look at your position in life, your stay, your education, as too lowly. You don't know what great things God will bring out of you and your teaching to others. Next thing I want you to notice, this kind of goes along with my pet peeve. A mother makes sure her children are properly dressed. I see kids on cold mornings have on a jacket, but arms barely in the sleeves, their throat are hanging out, coughing and gagging, sick, shoes untied, pants hanging down below their butt, getting on a school bus. What kind of mother did he come from? I would have got slapped around about four times and sat in a chair and said, what are you doing, John? Proverbs 31:21 says, the chapter in all the Bible that tells us what a good woman is, a good mother, says she's not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. How many of you ever had lived on a farm when we had the feed bags and they were pretty and mothers made dresses and shirts out of them? Oh, you understand. My mother used to make my shirts. Can't get your shirt this time, John. Dorothy needs a new dress. Okay, I'll wait. Can you remember when you could get your dinnerware plates and bowls out of oatmeal boxes? Anybody remember that? Yeah. Boy, life was good back then, huh? Things were right before us that we overlooked. But we're taught to provide for the kids. Teach them right and wrong. Teach them to look good. John, come back in here. Believe it or not, you didn't comb your hair this morning. Maybe that's what's wrong. And while she had the brush in her hand, she said, and your shoes are untied. Whack, whack. And sometimes the teacher used to take the ruler and whack me on the head. Did you ever get that? Well, anyway, we were brought up. Mothers put up. Let me say to you in conclusion, a mother realizes her children are a miracle from God. A miracle from God. I think I've shared with you, Gene Cornelius and his wife, Nancy, they've gone to glory. They had three children. They made high academics. Well, all of them went to school. One of them still works with one of our chain banks. But they had one that was born autistic. He had all kinds of deformities, was half blind, later went blind. I asked him one day, I said, Gene, and by the way, he was a lay preacher. He was the AD over at Southern Huntington. But he was a lay preacher. He preached for me sometime. I said, Gene, how do you... He said, when it first came, I said, God, what'd you do? He said, God spoke to me and said, I needed someone who could really love this boy, and I knew you and your mother would, so I sent him to you. Wow. 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 And one day I saw him discipline a child, and one of the women teachers, you shouldn't do that. He said, listen, that's my child, and just because he's got a handicap, don't mean he can get away with stuff. I don't ask him to do anything that he can't do, or he can't do. I'd be away from that child for a month, sometimes 6 months, and I'd go see Gene about something he'd have with him. He'd say, that's you, Brother John, isn't it? Man, what training, what respect. For with God nothing shall be impossible, God told Mary. Think of that. And Mary said, behold, again, notice the term, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country in haste to a city of Judah. And you know, they couldn't answer this question on Jeopardy. But there was two women. One was an elderly woman. One was a young woman, never been married. The elderly woman lived, so they were cousins. They both became pregnant and had babies. Both a miracle of God. God can do anything he wants to. It says, and entered into the house of Zacchaeus and saluted Elizabeth, her cousin. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, Elizabeth was already pregnant. John was born about 6 months before Jesus. The babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. You never know what God might do with that raggedy-looking kid. That bad-looking kid, God finally gave me a good-looking one at birth. I can go love on. Isn't it something what God will do in your life? If you just let God, beautiful. There's a song that says everything is beautiful in its own way. We look at things, God knows how, in Proverbs, to turn ashes into dust and make a man out of dust, and to make brainy people, smart people, good looking people, talent people, and common people that can do the work to provide the income for those smart people, right? That's what we can do. God love you, and happy Mother's Day. And a mother, she's going to be a proper mother, has to be a Christian. If you're a mother and you're a Christian, would you raise your hand? Praise God. Praise God. Let's stand. Sing our invitation number. Almighty God, as we come to the close of this service today, and traditionally we've honored mothers today, but Lord, all of us could take lessons from that. And as a church, we want to teach our young people growing up. Lord, we're living in a crazy world, a wicked world, a vile world, when a smart woman, supposedly, can't identify what a woman is. Lord, we're in big trouble. What did her children learn? Where did they get their teaching? Help us, God, as a church, to bus them in, bring them in, parents bring them in, teach our children the things of God, the things that are important, the things that will last to eternity and then be in eternity. In Jesus' name we pray. What number are we singing?
412.
If you have a need, the altar is now open. Don't forget, we'd like to have the trustees to meet for a quick meeting in the back after church. Slow, but they said I'm making progress, so keep praying and we'll keep climbing and keep sipping juice, and some of it makes me sick. But the girl who told you about, a lady who had the same thing I had, took her 9 years to get to eat again. And I think, wow, hope it'll have to go that long, but that's an encouragement to keep going. Never give up. There's so many. Hymn book says that, never give up, right? Where his hand is fit. Thank you for coming today. Brother Whitty.